With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
¿Qué pasa, campeones? Welcome to the Churros y Tácticas podcast on May the 1st. Yes, indeed, it's Monday, May 1st. Happy May 1st for everyone that's celebrating Labor Day. I just found out that I think that is exclusively to European countries. So if you're listening from within the European territory, happy Labor Day. Hope you're enjoying your long weekend. And we are here, Kian and I, to discuss the latest in La Liga Santander. Two wins for the top two teams in the Spanish top flight, which in and of itself is not much of a surprise. And it kind of waters down, I guess, as well, what could have been maybe an electric or somewhat electric podcast had one of the two teams dropped points. But the gap remains at 11 as we count down the match days. Match day 33 is already around the corner as well. So I don't know if this is going to be much of a review or a preview edition, as we can also start looking ahead at the next match day, which already kicks off tomorrow. And we have, of course, a bunch of other topics to discuss. So with me, as always, is Kian Sobhany. Kian, what's going on around your neck of the woods, my friend?
Cold.
You guys don't, so no Labor Day in North America?
We have it in September. I think it's September.
Okay.
Because you were like, oh, the kids are home May 1st. Like today I learned that May 1st apparently is a big deal in Europe. I didn't know that. So this is a holiday for you, apparently. So I'm sorry to drag you into the podcast, man. Apologies that you're here. But unless you really enjoy it, in that case, then it's fine.
Enjoy the pod?
Yeah.
Of course I enjoy the pod.
There you go. This is beautiful. You love what you do. Look, this...
Yeah, I'm sorry.
This is that this time of year should be an exciting podcast.
Yeah.
This should be... Diego just dropped his sign. This should be like Real Madrid beating Almeria and then Barcelona beating Betis. At this point of the season should be, oh, who's going to win the title race neck and neck? No, it just means nothing. It's frustrating. Frustrating for me. Frustrating.
Yeah, well, but that's our fault for honing in on and focusing somewhat solely on our own two teams and living, you know, somewhat in our own echo chamber and our bubble, because, you know, the bottom half of the standings is very exciting. I was in particular happy to see Cadiz beat Valencia, not because Valencia, of course, are still in with a chance of being relegated, but more because I have a good personal friend who works within Cadiz, and that win was mammoth. It was a massive win, and I didn't see the match, but I saw the highlights and the celebrations afterwards. I don't know if you got to see that, Kian. I mean, thousands maybe looked like thousands, maybe it was hundreds, but lots of Cádiz fans, you know, heading over to the main square where they celebrate titles, and they celebrated this win almost as a title, even though mathematically they are not out of the woods yet. I mean, they are looking at the standings, 4 points above Espanyol and Getafe, rather, with, you know, still, what is it, 6 match days to go? No.
Yeah.
6, right?
I think it's yeah. 6. Yeah. 14 to 19 is fascinating. Really, mm-hmm. really, mm-hmm. really special. Like those games are really exciting. And that's great because you don't always get that. You don't always get meaningful games late into the season. Like there have been seasons where the top four and then the bottom three are straightforward. And there's even been seasons that everything in between is locked in too. Like mid-table is mid-table. There's like player. There are teams that neither can qualify for Europe nor get relegated. And so it's nice to have seasons like this when it's so close. Yeah. And to see that is nice. But you know, we don't do that here. We don't really know what's happening under second place. Which it should be noted too, way above the relegation zone. I think one of the most important stories that only gets talked about by certain niche kind of pockets of social media is that Antoine Griezmann is back. Like Griezmann is back. He's back to being Griezmann. Like that's a huge story point in my opinion. And it's good to see. Because I think La Liga could use these superstars in different teams that are not Real Madrid and Barcelona. So I think that's like a pretty big storyline is just how good Griezmann's been.
So I saw the result and I saw the headlines, and the way the press was talking about the win over Valladolid was, you know, a magnificent, a fantastic. All the adjectives they used were really flattering towards this win over what I deem, you know, lackluster. I mean, a 5-2 win over Valladolid shouldn't necessarily raise eyebrows with a team with so much quality like Atletico de Madrid. So I was a little bit surprised to see the headlines talk so glamorously and so generously over this win. Now hearing you throw Griezmann in the mix and talking about his return to his old self and his excellent self, I guess that is starting to make sense now. You know, what era para tanto? Like, was it for that much? Like, was it that amazing? This performance from Atleti over Valladolid.
Well, first of all, like, there's two separate things here. One is the win over Valladolid, which was fine, and their attack was clicking. And Griezmann was fantastic in that game. But then there's also the other side of this is that it's not really about this game. It's about Griezmann this season has been really great.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's the leading assist guy in the league. No one has more assists than him. His expected goals and assists are also number one in the league. I have to kind of look at it to see how it compares to other seasons in his career. But I just think it's a great storyline to see, because to me, it's not just that he's playing well and it's like, oh, a former star is contributing again. No, like, I think this is like arguably his best season. It's like, it's wow. Obvious, like, it's not like as prolific as some of like the 2014 kind of Griezmann, the amount of goals he scored.
But from 2014 Griezmann, sorry, just quickly for context, was the year when he said he could sit at a table with Cristiano and Messi, correct?
I don't remember him saying that or not. I'm sure that's...
Well, that's quoted. I was just checking if
well, there was a time where Griezmann definitely was like arguably a top five player, at least like from a Ballon d'Or standpoint in terms of the season he had. But I'm just looking at it now to see how crazy I am. This is his best season in terms of goals and assists per 90, the second best of his career after the 2017-2018 season. So from a pure efficiency game-to-game standpoint, this is his is actually one of his top two seasons. So I was just trying to think, like, is it because it's skewed because he's been bad the last few years that maybe, like, you know, maybe my standards of Griezmann are lower? Like, he's just been actually fantastic. Mm. He's definitely the best playmaker in La Liga right now. I actually, my hypothesis on this would be that if you put him in a team that actually has even better finishers, maybe his numbers would be even higher than they are. He's been really good with the ball at his feet. He's actually been a solid dribbler, which is not really part of his game overall. Like, he's not like a line-breaking dribbler, but he's been pretty good in that sense. He's also worked really hard defensively, as he always does. So I just wanted to give a shout-out to Griezmann because I don't think he's gotten a segment on this podcast in quite a bit. So shout-out to Griezmann, who's having a phenomenal season.
Yeah. I think early in the season, in the beginning of the season, we talked a little bit about Griezmann, but certainly not at length, and probably not doing justice to, as you say, having a stellar season, if not arguably one of his best. Do you see them with the matches that are still left to play, playing catch up or possibly leapfrogging Real Madrid?
Probably. It's at least on the table. They're only two games back.
Yeah.
So why not?
But probably they will take over, is what you're saying.
I don't know if probably is the right word. It's probably less than 50% chance, but it's a decent chance. And think about why that could be also is because Real Madrid will focus on City.
Copa and Champions, yeah.
Yeah, and then if they can beat City, then they'll focus on the final.
Mm-hmm.
Last season when there was nothing to play for and, you know, it was an inverse problem, they won the league early. They started to play a lot of Jesus Vallejo, a lot of Andre Lunin, these players. So for that reason also, maybe they lose some points here and there. You know, and the other part of the argument is this: their opponents likely will have stuff to play for, will be fighting for their lives.
Well, there you go. So, taking advantage of that, what you just saying, I wanted to introduce the remaining fixtures into the mix because tomorrow you guys will play a very tough away game against Real Sociedad, who, I guess you could argue, are securing Champions League spots, right? If I'm not mistaken, I don't have the standings here, but they have Villarreal somewhat stepping on their heels.
Five points back.
Okay. Yeah. Then Atletico face a Cadiz that are obviously also still fighting for survival and will want to stay as far away from the relegation spots as possible. So tough home game for Atletico de Madrid, a Cadiz side who we know and have seen multiple times now punch above their weight when it comes to La Liga giants, making life very difficult for the big teams in the league. Match day 34 sees Real Madrid play Getafe. Tough for Real Madrid as well. In Getafe, that's in turmoil. Getafe, if I'm not mistaken, have just confirmed that Bordalas will be back as of next season. And Atletico de Madrid play away against Elche, and Elche that, of course, are now as good as relegated. They're donezos. Valencia, Real Madrid away, match day 35. Atletico at home against Osasuna. Difficult. Match day 36 sees Atletico play against Espanyol away and Real Madrid face Rayo Vallecano. There we go. Tough one for Madrid.
Always.
37. Atletico Real Sociedad. Real Madrid Sevilla. Sevilla at home. meaning Real Madrid play away, and the last match day sees Atletico de Madrid play away against Villarreal, who could potentially still be in a running for a Champions League spot, whereas Real Madrid play at home against Atletico Club that could potentially also still play and fight for European spots. They are now currently 3 points away from Real Betis in for a spot, which I believe would be the Conference League. So things we could see some movement there if the teams are not 100% sharp and picking up the points in threes. Interesting match that they still left to play for sure.
Yeah. So in the Lorin household, if you had to, obviously apart from Barca, what is like one team you'd kind of like circle and be like, I'm going to put the game on. These guys are playing. It's going to be on in the background. I want to see it out. I want to see what their fate is. Is there one that you're most interested in or no? Or you just kind of hate everybody equally?
No, obviously I hate Real Madrid the most by far. In fact, it was the only team that I really loathe and despise. Having said that, it's also the team that after Barca I want to see the most. Purely from, you know, kind of the angle, the perspective from know thy enemy, right? Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. So always on the lookout for Real Madrid. But in terms of spectacle, in terms of, you know, entertainment, I mean, Betis, Villarreal, I think Osasuna games have been very thrilling, very exciting. But even, you know, Cadiz games, or a Girona that I think has done exceptionally well under Michel, I mean, now sitting in 10th. You know, there's a lot of teams. And of course, I mean, let me take everything back. Real Sociedad. I mean, truly with Imanol Aguacil, Real Sociedad has been a team, in particular in the first half of the season, I have to say. Or maybe that's when I had more of a focus on Real Sociedad. Were absolutely fantastic and playing phenomenal football for that matter as well. So to answer your question, Real Madrid, Real Sociedad, and then of course the Villarreals, the Betises, etc. And then just teams that play with energy. Like I said, a Girona, a Cadiz, where the whole, you know, the crowd get into it. Those are games I truly enjoy watching. Having said that, yesterday I truly enjoyed watching Liverpool-Tottenham. I don't know if you saw that, but that was fucking...
I mean, I saw highlights. That was crazy. That was insane.
Yeah. That was crazy. And I don't get to watch a lot of Premier League, but luckily I did see that. And when I thought, as you say, at some point it was on the background with 15 minutes left. It was 3-1. And all of a sudden, it was in true Premier League style. They just cranked it up a notch and just madness happened.
Wildly entertaining and also just such a classic Tottenham way to lose. It's, you know, I have a friend who supports Tottenham. I mean, I have many friends who support Tottenham actually, but I actually spoke to one of them and he just said that after Richarlison scored, it just still felt like couldn't celebrate because he just felt like something would happen and it did. Yeah, Real Sociedad is a great shout because they are fun. They have a lot of fun pieces too. Real Sociedad, I almost have kind of a soft spot for them because they are a team that plays good football. They have a nice history. They have a really likable coach right now. They also have a lot of likable players, whether it's David Silva, Kubo.
Yeah.
Ori Arthabal, who obviously had struggled to remain fit for like half the season. I love
their
watching
midfield
them.
Is
yeah
phenomenal. Their midfield
they
is phenomenal.
Should see out fourth place. They probably will, bar a huge collapse. But I think they'll see it out. I do feel like with regards to the top six, I feel like that's kind of what we'll get. It's going to be hard for Athletic to crack through, although maybe not. I mean, they're only 3 points back. They have a game in hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Betis' form of late have not been good. They got to kind of solidify themselves. But yeah, It's a fun, like, again, look, underneath number three, I would say. Because Barca won the title. Real Madrid, Atletico, doesn't really matter. Second, third, who comes what. Four and down. 4-19 is pretty interesting. So,
what do you, at this point in time, how do you see the relegation zone? What do you think will be the bottom three come match day 38?
I feel like Getafe are just so bad. I don't think that they can get out, even though they're only 2 points back. I don't trust them. Out of all the teams that I trust and don't trust, I trust them the least. They're on a terrible form, too. And yeah.
Did you hear about the... I didn't make that up. Did I? That Bordalas has officially been...
No, it's real. It's real.
It's real, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it's, I just, for whatever reason, can't picture Valencia in Segunda.
I know.
So I just feel like they'll avoid it. I think.
How would you feel about that? If it does happen?
A lot of Real Madrid fans absolutely hate Barca. I can understand why they do. I mean, sorry.
Stating the obvious, there's no point in doing that, Kia.
What I meant to say, obviously what I said is true, but what I meant to say is that they hate Valencia. And I can see why.
Yeah, same with Barca fans.
Why?
Oh my God! There's so much hate. There's more hatred between Valencia and Barca than Valencia.
No,
absolutely.
No.
And listen,
they give you guys players for free, and they don't
trust
sell players to us.
Trust me. This comes down to cultural. Ask your Spanish correspondents. This is cultural reasons.
I disagree because factually it's.
But incorrect. You don't know, eh?
I don't need to know. I see it. They give you players for free. They never sell us anyone, and if they do, they put a price tag of $3 billion.
Are you kidding? For free? We, if anything, if there's one club that has sustained Valencia, it is Barca with the amount of money that we have thrown, tossed their way for their players. Trust me, culturally, there's a lot of hatred towards the Valencian community and the Catalan community for socio-political reasons. You know, obviously, they speak Valenciano, which is Catalan, and that's just the tipping point. I mean, it's
Diego. What? This is insane to me. You can talk about all this cultural, political. What I don't care.
It's true. It is true.
I just wanted to tell you of all the players I've gifted you, and all I did was Google Valencia Barcelona transfers. The very first link is Barcelona.com has a page dedicated to players Valencia have sold to us.
It's Barcelona.com.
Yes.
That's crazy. I've never heard of that. Let me check.
Because
that
you guys anyway, love what? Each other. It's a marriage.
No.
It's an alliance against your hated rival, Real Madrid.
It is not.
They don't have the price tags on them. I'm going to have to find another link. But look, yeah, Real Madrid fans absolutely hate Valencia. I understand why.
Same with Barca.
Okay. I don't quite necessarily hate them. I'd be curious to who do we know that's a Valencia fan? Do we know anyone? We
should get them on the podcast.
There you go. We should get them on the podcast at some point to talk about all the problems and stuff, because there are many problems in Valencia because of Peter Lim. But
I stand with my initial assessment when I said Marcelino and Mateo Alemany out was the demise of the. I want to say, the great Valencia, or the last great Valencia, let's say.
I wonder if how their fans feel about this. Is it actually better for them long term to be relegated?
No.
No.
How would you want to argue that? I mean, they are.
The only way you can't argue it, actually, but the only way you could argue it is it gets to such a bad point that somehow either Lim does something or he resigns or sells.
Yeah.
Because if they stay in La Liga, Lim's like, oh, everything's okay. But again, the problem is I just don't think Lim cares at all if they get relegated. It just feels like he doesn't care if they get relegated. He does not care about their football success. It's a really scary situation to be in. to be honest.
But even from an investment point of view, I mean, surely he, you know, the numbers cannot be adding up in his books, and
I don't,
you would want to secure.
I'm not an expert, and you know me, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I actually call conspiracy on this one.
Oh, and
maybe
that
he
is?
He wants to show losses. I don't know, some accounting tricks
tax
here and there.
Tax deductible.
I'm not an expert, nor am I a conspiracy theorist. Mm-hmm. We have to bring in conspiracy theorists and expert for that segment, but it really seems like he doesn't give a fuck.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. And when his spokesperson, that poor lady, I think she's been given the title of CEO or something, whenever she comes out to face the press, it's just cringe. It's like, you got to feel for her. She's in a tough spot. But yeah, it does feel that there is no heart whatsoever with that current board and their management of Valencia. And I echo your sentiment. I've always been vocal, or at least, you know, honest in my opinion, that I always enjoy seeing the La Liga big teams be in their prime, or in their best shape, in their, you know, in the best as they can possibly be anyway. And obviously teams, the likes of Valencia, and we could put, you know, let's say a Deportivo in that mix, or a Racing Santander, both of those two teams who have, of course, their demise of the Spanish top flight has been brutal and saddening, if anything. But there are so many teams that historically have been so big and great in La Liga. And if Valencia would join the likes of a Deport or a Racing, that would be, in my view, in my eyes, unthinkable and highly undesirable for anybody that loves seeing Spanish football. Because Valencia, like it or not, hate them or love them or hate them, are a historically great side that have produced just phenomenal talents. I mean, you know, I can't really put David Villa in the mix because he came from Gijón, but you know, Gaizka Mendieta, man, one of the best Spanish football players of all time, you know, came from Valencia. Born and raised in around that region anyway, and signed on to the club from a very young age. And like him, so many others, from you know, Silva to who else can we name?
There's millions, man. Torres. These guys actually were used to be so good. Like, it, you know, just that, but.
Sorry, go ahead.
Just to, like, I'm going to, like, ignore the fact about hatred and Valencia and all this stuff, because growing up, I didn't know about this hate. And like, so I didn't know necessarily that the clubs were on good terms on certain things and the fans hated each other. I just grew up like just watching them on TV, and I was enamored by them. Like, I actually supported them in those back-to-back Champions League finals that they reached.
You supported them?
Well, I was like, I was 12, 11, like, years old. So I like, I was,
so
like,
wait. This is on record now. Kian Sobhany, the most popular and head of the biggest Madridista fan website in the world, was actually supporting Valencia in the final 2000. Was it 2000? 2001? The Valencia Madrid final?
2000. It was back to back, right? So was it?
Yeah.
So
Bayern and or Madrid and then Bayern.
Well, obviously not the Real Madrid one, but the Bayern one. So, well, all I'm saying is, yeah,
so I thought you were saying you were supporting Valencia in that final against Madrid when you said you
No, what I'm saying is that, okay, I always supported Spanish teams in Europe, and Valencia were part of that. So, like, I was rooting for Super Deport against Milan in that comeback, obviously.
Right.
You know, Villarreal to beat Arsenal in that semifinal, Valencia to beat Bayern Munich. You know, I didn't look at, like, oh, I got to hate Valencia. I was supporting them.
I got you. Yeah.
They had a lot of cool players growing up, like, whether it was Mendieta, Pablo Aimar, David Silva, Piojo Lopez, who was a personal favorite because he always scored against Barca. If you remember, that was like his shtick, right?
That was his thing. Great goals as well.
Yeah. You know, even players like John Carew, who were like good strikers for them.
Decent, yeah.
Vicente was one of my favorite players growing up. Incredible left winger who just got destroyed with injuries. There were so many, and throughout the years, and as you got older, it's Silva, Villa, that, and there's a whole era, another era that starts. So from just like a pure La Liga, the sake of La Liga, they were important. They had stars.
Even now, like I mentioned Ferran Torres, and it's not like with any irony or sarcasm. And even like Carlos Soler, who's, you know, just vanished in the PSG dressing room. And hopefully, you know, both those players who were very talented, very, you know, they had a lot of market in their time when they renewed their contracts, extended their contracts with Valencia, and eventually were shipped off and have now, yeah, kind of fizzled out. But these are very talented and very good football players.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So I'm going to go back to
to the bottom three.
No, to who hates who more, Barcelona, Real Madrid, and the fact that you guys are buddies with Valencia and we're not.
Absolutely not. You know nothing. You know nothing.
Here are some. Here are the
if you say that, no, don't. You'll make a fool out of yourself, because you should know about the cultural importance. And dude, there's like fights all the time that break out between the ultras whenever, like, even if we're not playing Valencia, like in the Copa del Rey finals when we go there, there were like two finals played over the past few years, the last two ones that we played in Valencia. There's like fights that break out with Valencia fans, so even if they have nothing at stake, they just come there and try to fuck up culés. That's their shtick, man. It's hatred.
It's excellent PR. Here's the facts. Here are the transfers. Here are the players that Valencia have given you guys, and or you've given them. They've given
Don't
you
say
Neto.
Give. Give me a break.
I'm not done.
Give me a fucking... Yo, that Cilicen Neto swap was one of the biggest eyebrow raisers in the history of the game. I mean, that was... let me sort Cilicen. Out your accounting. You
it was
sort
a
out
gift my... for Cilicen. It was a gift. Cilicen is miles better than Neto. But here's more.
Okay, well...
Paco Alcacer. Andre Gomes. You just gifted them $37 million for this player.
Okay, so we have been generous towards them. They have been
it goes
like,
both ways.
They have it's been they gifts, have been gifts. Squeezed.
It was just it's just a gift potluck, gifting each other things, taking turns.
Stop.
Jordi Alba.
Wow.
They gifted you for $14 million.
The guy wanted to come back to his
They gave you David Villa for free, basically $40 million.
it's one of these podcasts, is it?
Who else? You gave them Zubizarreta for $2 million.
Zubi. Well, we gave. Okay, you want to go there? But then there's Kluivert. There was a Romario.
Oh my God, you're right. Yeah, there's so many. You want to see the list of Real Madrid Valencia transfers?
Go on.
1998, Ivan Campo. We bought him from Valencia.
Okay, well, Mr. Bucktooth turned out all right for you guys.
He was okay.
Shout out to Ivan Campo, by the way. I know somebody that is very, very close with Ivan Campo, and he swears he's the nicest guy. So
I like Ivan Campo a lot. Not necessarily because he was the greatest defender, but he's just kind of like this guy who seemed like just a likable, you know, character.
I guess. Yeah. He was just too easy to pick on.
He was very easy to pick on. Feel bad for him. It's because of the hair. He made mistakes at the back. He had his moments. He had some nice tackles here and there.
Right.
Decent role player, but yeah, there's a few others, but it's nothing on this. Just basically,
well, no,
this
go on.
Barcelona Valencia love fest.
Well, keep going.
There was Canizares in the 90s.
Oh, man. One of the greatest goalkeeper in their history, for crying out loud.
Only because we had Casillas. Yeah. And then there's Albiol, and then the list basically ends there.
Well, Albiol. Okay.
So there is scientifically proven.
So to get back to the origin of this question, do you see them get relegated?
No, because I just can't picture them being the Segunda, so I'm going to say no.
They're playing Villarreal next tomorrow. that's a hot derby, that one.
That's at home. Celta away. Real Madrid at home. Mallorca away. Espanyol at home.
That's not easy.
Not easy.
They could disappear. They could. That is crazy. If it does happen, I mean, you know, look at Espanyol. Even though they could once again be relegated, they were relegated and bounced right back. They might just bounce down again, obviously. But I'm saying, if Valencia do get relegated, I don't know if their recovery will be as swift as in Espanyol. Again, even though Espanyol are in the danger zone once again. When Atletico got relegated, that was the first time that I can remember where I had this kind of moment. I was like, holy shit, Atletico is getting fucking relegated. I remember the whole marketing campaign at the time as well. It was un año en el infierno. It was 1 year in hell. I don't remember how long they stayed in Segunda for, if it was just one season or a bit longer than that. But that, I remember that moment when it became reality. I couldn't fathom. I was like, how is it possible that a club like Atletico is getting relegated to Segunda? That's nuts.
Yeah. I think they're probably the biggest team that got relegated in recent memory. I know we can throw Depor in the mix, but what I mean is essentially that they actually had a good team, not a good team, but they had quote unquote big players in that team. It wasn't absolutely terrible. Mm-hmm. I'd have to look
Hasselbank.
Wasn't Hasselbank in that squad?
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Yeah, he was. And I believe he scored 35 goals in the league that year.
So, is that when he went to Chelsea after that then?
Must have.
It was just crazy. That moment was nuts.
Yeah, and then after that he went to Chelsea, the year after. He scored 24 goals in 34 games for Atletico that year. I think that's La Liga specifically. I think maybe more overall. But yeah, so it's not like he had it, when you got Hasselbank, who's fighting for Pichichi, it's weird to go down in that year. I wanted to ask you a couple of Barca things really quick.
Yeah.
Here's the question.
Can you guys win your game tomorrow so that we
why
just keep winning? Because if Madrid lose, then we also just drop points and then we keep postponing.
But don't you want Real Sociedad to stay in the Champions League?
True. Absolutely, I do that. Yeah. That is true.
Reports. Yeah, it's reports in sports, so who cares? But that Jorge Mendes says he's going to bring a 70 million offer for Fati.
Mm-hmm.
I call BS on that, but.
Okay.
I guess I'm asking you a different question.
Hmm.
Would you rather bring back Messi and lose Ansu Fati forever? Or would you rather have Ansu Fati forever and not bring Messi back?
Man, that's a tough one then, huh? It's tough because it's despite me being an open and probably a fanatic and irrational supporter of Ansu Fati at this point, and looking at the economic state of the club, of which the ramifications have become ever so real, the dire situation of it, that is. The logical explanation or answer would be to say, get Messi back for the reasons that we talked about on the last podcast on Friday. Not so much for Messi the football player, but Messi the name. Messi that comes with a gang of sponsors, that comes with, you know, ticket sales and football.
All,
I mean,
all the Messi fans on Twitter give you hits, clicks.
Yeah, everything, right? I mean, and Messi the football player is we're not talking about, you know, a washed up, done player by any means, but and on top of that, so you said you're calling bullshit on the 70 mil on Friday. I think I tossed, or maybe it was a previous podcast, Ansu between I think I said 60 million. If I remember correct, I don't think 70 million is a stretch by any means. And the reason being is because Premier League have got, you know, an absurd amount of money to spend. And we have seen them spend absurd amounts of money, irrational amounts of money on, you know, a Nunez Darwin, on, I mean, so many football players from foreign leagues or within the Premier League in and of itself, where you go, you know, how can they have spent over 100 million for this player? So I think 70 mil for Ansu is perfectly reasonable and within the range, let's say, of what Premier League clubs are currently spending. And again, that's 70 million in the bank for a Barca that, of course, are still in the midst of trying to lower their salary cap of, I think the figure is around 200 million mark. So 70 million would be a massive alleviation of that, and also allow at the same time La Liga to approve the return of Messi. And if we have to believe reports, at the moment the first proposal that Barca have put forward has been rejected by La Liga, so there's no,
of course, it has. Tebas is standing there the guardian of,
yeah, you shall not.
I feel like if you sign, you sign Messi, Tebas will be like at the Camp Nou gates with like a sword, not letting Messi in.
You shall not pass.
You cannot improve our league.
Yeah. So I think the logical answer is yes. You want to go for that. I think it's a scenario that I would tip right now in favor of that scenario happening. Me personally, I don't know if I actually want that to happen. I still want to believe that Ansu is the future number 10 of Football Club Barcelona, and that bringing back a Messi would give Xavi all kinds of headaches from a sporting perspective. I don't know if that is going to mesh well, and if that last dance story that Barca want to create, and Barca and Messi, because we all know that Messi wants this move to happen as well. I don't know if that is going to have a fairy tale ending that many of us would still like and enjoy. Don't get me wrong. Obviously, I never wanted Messi's career to end at Barca the way it did. I just don't know if, yeah, my heart says don't do it. My heart says don't do it. My brain says maybe something else. Yeah.
Well, I think, I just regards the Ansu Fati thing. And like I've said this before, I also, it will come off as a Madridista who's, you know, panicking for sure. But I think Barca bringing Messi back is a bit of an emotional decision. I don't think it's a bad idea necessarily, but I do think it's not purely sporting, obviously.
Yeah, you get that perspective. You get that side, yeah. Right? From, yeah.
The Ansu Fati thing, okay, like I hear you that maybe a team will offer 60 million to Premier League because they have so much money. I just also look at it, if I'm another team and I have money to spend, I just don't think it's a good decision to do that, to spend that much money on a player who whose health is unknown.
Mm. Yeah.
It's a huge risk. And I just don't think it's a good decision. So I guess maybe there's two different things here. One is that, okay, a team is willing to, again, which is crazy to me. I would sign Ansu Fati for my team, depending on the context. But I would probably spend 30 to 35 million max on that. I just don't think it's a good idea. It's a huge risk. Huge risk for a team. Maybe a solution is he gets loaned. If Messi comes back, is what, like, do you think it's for a year or 2 years? Like, how, what's the timeline? Could you?
They say it's a year.
Maybe you could loan Fati out for a year, see how he does, see how his health is. Maybe that's a win-win situation for everybody. That way, if he bounces back and he's back to his best, you still have him. But then it turns out, well, if he turns out to be a disaster, then you have to keep him. But at least, I don't know.
I think it's a likely scenario that we could see this happen. That Matteo Alemany, after the Betis game, came on, I think, I don't know if it was Barca TV or Movistar, but anyway, he was asked in the press zone several questions, and he said that it's going to be an electric or a fascinating summer transfer window. And, you know, the reports have come out that the sporting directors, Matteo and Jordi Cruyff, you know, are basically admitting that, yes, we are going to have to sell some big name players. And whether that is an Ansu or whether that's another player that has a significant market value remains to be seen. But, you know, it's not a far-fetched, let's say, idea to see the departure of, let's say, somebody like an Ansu Fati, who, yes, is a fan's a fan favorite. But that, you know, certainly, you know, has had an underwhelming season. I mean, that's not an understatement. Excuse me, that's not an exaggeration by any means. And, you know, we were all expecting this to be a season where Ansu Fati would state his claim and become a first team regular. By first team regular, I mean in the starting 11 regular. That hasn't happened. And the reason being is, you know, it's best known to Xavi himself, the reason for that. And you mentioned his health being unknown. And that is, you know, again, sort of the whispers around the halls of FC Barcelona is that, yeah, his health is not fully there. It's a bit of an incognito in that. He kind of, you know, the shoulda, coulda, woulda scenario, right? He should have gotten surgery on his knee. He opted out on that. And it's like the ramifications of that are starting to become apparent in his production on the field. And that's why he's sort of fallen out of favor for Xavi and out of the rotation of getting more minutes. So obviously on his side, in his... for his benefit, is that he's still very young. We're talking about Ansu Fati, a 20-year-old player, if I'm not mistaken, if I think he's no longer a teenager. Let me just double-check, because he might be 19. But certainly, no, 20 years of age. So an incredibly young player that still has his entire season, career rather, ahead of him. And that, of course, for any other team, makes him an interesting prospect as well to sort of, you know, get their medics on him. We know of the sheer raw talent that he possesses and just how good, decisive, and explosive he can be. He gave us, you know, the signs of it from so early on, from the age of 16 when he made his debut with the Barca first team. And, you know, you say it's a gamble. I agree. But going back to the point I made earlier, I think Premier League teams have made far bigger gambles on lesser known names or potentials for that matter. So, you know, whether it's 60, whether it's 70 million, I could see that happen. I don't think it's a stretch of the imagination to see that take place this summer.
I still can't, to be honest with you. I mean, like, I think it would be crazy news. Having said that, like, how much did Isak go for?
You would do it, right? I mean, that for you is a no-brainer then.
If you're Barca?
Yeah.
Yeah, you take that money and run.
Hmm.
If that happens, I think it's going to be like a quote unquote smaller team. Like maybe Wolves. Okay.
You don't see a Newcastle doing that then, new money team.
Yeah, maybe Newcastle. I suppose whether right or wrong, I put them as a quote unquote smaller team. It's not going to be like a United City, Liverpool,
mm-hmm.
Chelsea. But maybe I was thinking about Wolves too, because Mendes has connections there.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. People. Absolutely.
Again, just to clarify, like, this has nothing to do with his talent. Like, him having a poor season is totally fine and acceptable as a young player. It's not that I worry about. Like, it's more the injuries. And this goes mm-hmm. back to not even this year. 3 years ago, he had that meniscal laceration, and he was out nearly an entire year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is dated and worrisome for his future projection health. That's it.
For sure.
That's it. So, yeah, that's my concern.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Where do you want to go from here? Going to leave it in your hands. You got kids. It's a holiday.
Okay. Yeah. Let me just ask, are you excited for the Copa final? It's only a few. What is it now? A week away. It's the upcoming. This upcoming
less
weekend.
Less than a week. Less than a week.
Right. What is it? Saturday, right?
Yep.
You excited? Are you guys potting about it, or is it still all about Haaland or Mbappe and the upcoming City clash?
Listen, to be quite honest with you, if I'm going to answer transparently, I'm more thinking about City.
Mm-hmm.
And the Copa final, as you put it, I think you put it in the when I ask you about the Europa League and you're excited, you're like, it feels like a lose-lose. If you lose, it's a really bad look. You can't lose Osasuna.
Mm-hmm.
And if you win, it's like immediately the news is about something else, which is, okay, cool, you got the Copa trophy against Osasuna. Still, the season's still a failure if you don't beat City because you've already failed in the league. So I feel like there's a lot of pressure on Real Madrid to win that City game. And if you lose Osasuna, it's a really bad look. You can't lose that game. No one's going to feel sorry for you. No one's going to make excuses for you. You lost Osasuna, bad. You win, you did your job. Hopefully you get some momentum for City. But if you lose City, everything's a disaster. So there's a lot of pressure to win a game against City. It's a hard game. It's a big test. It's the biggest test. And no one's going to feel sorry for you if you lose it. You have to win it. That's all I'm thinking about. I'm nervous for it.
So nervous is a type of excitement, right? So you could say
for the
that
City game.
It's for the City game. Yeah. But for Osasuna?
Nervous in some capacity, I guess, because we have struggled against teams like that.
And they've been fantastic. They've been a good team to watch. Arrasate has been, I would say, punching above his weight. But
also, probably he's going to rest everyone against Barca, isn't he? Like, he's just going to roll out the red carpet for you guys?
Well, that he should. He'd be stupid not to. I think Chimi Ávila is out for the final, right? He's out injured, so he's missing a chimney. Abde will be, I mean, licking his chops to play a good game against Real Madrid. And, you know, they've got obviously not so much a stake in La Liga at this point anymore. So Arrasate would be crazy not to rest players for their biggest game in their history since God knows how long. I mean, when was the last time that they were in a position like this? I think actually it was less... I was speaking with one of my students about it in the master course 15 years ago. I have a student. She said that 15 years ago was the last time that Osasuna was in a Copa final. That completely caught me off guard.
It caught you off guard because you're surprised that they made the final 15 years ago?
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember that. Like, I would have remembered that, I feel.
Well, wasn't there a year that they actually qualified for the Champions League?
Jesus.
Do you remember this? That.
I do not.
I wonder if it was around the same time because they were obviously decent for... Who did they have at that point? I'm not going crazy, right? Osasuna did... I got to fact check this. Stay on the line with me, Diego. Don't hang up.
I will.
So the Copa final...
2006?
2006 was the Copa final?
It's bad, it's bad. No. Hold on.
It was... They entered the qualifying phase of the UEFA Champions League in 2005.
Okay, so it was, right.
Around so in 2005, they came fourth.
Copa del Rey final 2005.
Yeah, so same year. So they came fourth that year in La Liga.
Wow.
Yeah. So the only reason I started to think of this was because when you said they won the Copa final, it reminded me like, well, that's not that crazy because I think they were good at one point. Like good enough to qualify for the Champions League. Mm-hmm. What did they have that year, though? I'll tell you right now, Diego. Trip down memory lane. Live, unfiltered churros. Savo Milosevic.
Wow.
Literally the only player I actually recognize.
Raul Garcia. Is that right?
Yeah, it's the Raul Garcia, yeah.
Yeah. Soldado.
Up and coming.
Jesus. Up and coming, yeah. Well, good for them. Look, I think to get back to the question of excitement or not, on the day you will feel excitement because Copa finals are exciting, very exciting, whether, you know, you like it or not, whether you
for sure.
root for the trophy or, you know, whether you place importance on it or not. Finals are always exciting matches to play. And Copa finals are fun because you get both sets of fans filling the stadium and there's just a cool atmosphere. So I think on the day itself, come Saturday, once, you know, about a half hour or so before kickoff, if you're catching the pregame, I think that's when the excitement will start brewing. And, you know, you'll want to, of course, win that game and start feeling the nerves a little bit settle in.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think the peak of the excitement might be like when we actually, if we win that game, lifting the Copa, doing the celebrations, all of that stuff, I think will be.
Yeah,
you know, you sometimes that's when it really hits you, like, oh, we won the Copa del Rey, which like never happens in our history. So, not enough anyway. I should say not enough. It happens, but not enough for the amount of talent this team has historically.
For sure.
So, yeah, I guess if we win it, and hopefully we do, because I don't really feel like dealing with the aftermath of that disaster of losing Osasuna in the Copa final would be our job will be really tough. So I
just
hope not.
A couple days later, City. I mean, that would be so good.
Yeah, Yo, real relish it. This is Hell Week in some ways. Hell Week. We always have one Hell Week every season, and this is kind of Hell Week for us right now. So this will make and break how happy you'll be, Diego, too, this upcoming week. It'll dictate your happiness, our happiness. Xavi seems to say, he said today, that it does not devalue their season if Real Madrid win the cups. Did you see that?
No.
Well, I mean,
I saw him get asked, like, dumbass question, like, who would you rather have win the Copa del Rey, or something along those lines, and he's like, isn't that obvious?
Oh, so first of all, you're leaving Barca TV at the end of June. You've already checked out. You don't even check Xavi's press conferences, huh?
Dude, I've been celebrating the 70th birthday of my mother-in-law this weekend. It's been, and just traveling insane early hours. We had like a 2-hour delay. I have not, traveling with kids. No, I have not been on top.
Happy birthday to your mother-in-law, first of all. Second of all, you missed a very, very a quote that really stirred up the Real Madrid fan base.
Oh, okay.
He says, "We congratulate Real Madrid for last year's league title. We professionals know that La Liga is won by the best, the most solvent, the one who has had the most continuity. The KO competitions are more unfair."
Yeah, he said this many times. Same old, same old.
This is like Xavi and Pep's favorite go-to quote.
And Zizou's as well. Don't forget Zidane.
Yeah, I just disagree with it. I also don't like the use of the word unfair in this context.
Yeah, unfair. I know. I don't. That is a word that I
prefer he said the word luck or something than unfair. You know what I mean?
Yes. I agree.
Even then, I wouldn't agree, but at least I would be more. I think unfair is a little bit unfair.
I hear you.
Unfair use of the word unfair. So that's that. Do you think that if Barcelona won a bunch of Champions League titles and no league titles, would Xavi change his mind and say Champions League is more difficult and more fair?
Honestly. I don't think. I mean, Zizou hasn't changed his tune. Last time he was asked, he was very clear. So it seems that, you know, coaches or ex-players place the importance or more value or more merit on certain trophies achieved over others. Who am I to disagree with top professional football players / coaches, you know? I don't know.
Let me ask you this question then.
Would I prefer to win more Champions League trophies over league titles? Yes.
Would you agree? I would say this too, that the league requires more consistency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As an NBA fan, what do you think of this analogy? That winning the regular season requires more consistency, but the ultimate prize is the championship. Is that fair?
Yeah. What is the quote? It don't mean a thing without a ring, right? Isn't that what Pippen and Jordan were saying about?
It's obviously a little bit different because you do get a championship at the end of the league title. But you know, I'd rather be like the fifth seed who wins the championship than the first seed who.
The Champions League, you mean?
Who fails? No, I'm talking about like an NBA. Like,
sorry.
Like, if I'd rather be a fourth or a fifth seed that wins the ring than be like this really consistent like first seed who chokes at the end of it. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
This is kind of like why I don't rate James Harden that highly. Like, I respect the fact that he was a killer in his peak in the regular season, but I just don't respect the fact that he just completely melted in the playoffs.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, it's. I think that's one of these. This is one of these debates for the ages, and where fans will have their perspective, and journalists, pundits will have their own, and then you have the pros, the people that actually go out on the pitch and play and coach, that have their view on it, and will probably create a divide or. Agree to disagree scenario every time it's brought up, you know. I think obviously at this point in time, as a culé, as a Barça fan, seeing Madrid win all these Champions League trophies over this stretch of years is created urgency amongst our fan base to keep up with the momentum, and we not only have we not managed to do so, but we've been actually traumatized season after season. So we've like taken mammoth steps backwards from even, you know, from not being any more competitive in the Champions League, you know, and so, you know, that we have so much ground to catch up on that for me right now, even though, yes, maybe it's, you can give more merit to the consistency, to the day in, day out grind and the work rate. But the most glamorous trophy at the end of the day, and the one that certainly I would say captures the most headlines internationally and allows a brand to expand and gain international recognition, is the Champions League. And that, I think, is undeniable.
Yeah. I agree. So, we can end the podcast with agreement if you want. We'll be back when? Thursday?
Who's going to win the Pichichi? It's tight now.
I feel like Benzema's going to win it.
Yeah, he could. It's very tight.
I don't know what's happening to Lewandowski. He's stopped scoring, man, all of a sudden after the World Cup. And Benzema's
fucking
scoring.
Hit
like,
the post as well.
Benzema has 3 hat tricks in the past month. So I just feel like he can somehow snatch it, because
that's
something I would absolutely not have, even if someone had a gun to my head, everything was on the line, family safety, family's livelihood, I would have definitely bet that Lewandowski was a Pichichi.
Mm.
He still might, but it just definitely feels like there's momentum for Benz now. I'm going to go with Benzema.
Okay.
Are there odds? Who does anyone gamble? I don't gamble, but nor should anyone gamble. But what are the odds?
Well, like, gamble.
Okay, check. You should put some money on Benzema. And then we'll use the earnings to
gamble responsibly if you're an adult. Do your money what you want. But I don't gamble in that on sports betting. If I were a sports betting gambling man, I probably agree with you, you know. I don't know. I think the momentum, I mean, Levy's momentum is certainly not there. And seems like he has to put in an immense effort to get goals to get the ball into the back of the net of late in the second half of the season, this post World Cup phase of this season. And as you said, momentum is on Benzema's side. So yeah, if I was a betting man, I'd probably put it on Karim.
So right now, I'm not smart enough to do this.
They got all the
on demand. Yeah, I'm trying to like figure out like what the odds are. Again, I'm just not well versed enough in this universe to find out quickly. I can find like goal scorers in a matchup, like the most likely player to score like the first last goal in tomorrow's game, but I don't see the outrights for the season. Anyways, it just seemed like it would be at least a better bet than Lewandowski in terms of risk and reward.
Mm-hmm.
Diego, let's reconvene on Thursday. Right?
Thursday, yes, sir, it is.
Over on patreon.com/churros y tacticas. And we can tee up the Copa final. We can talk about some random stuff that we think about and take some questions from our patrons. All right?
Absolutely. One more thank you as well to the community once more for all the supportive messages and the retweets. I am still getting back to every single one of you. I think I've gotten down to the most of you, but if you're feeling left out, fear not. I will get back to you. Thank you again for all your support. And it's been heartwarming. It's been very emotional to get your messages and see all the support that I've been receiving after the news broke about Barca TV ceasing operations at the end of the season. So thank you.
Yeah. It's been nice to see that support for Diego. I've seen all the messages through Patreon, but also on social media. It's great to see. Diego, we'll chat Thursday, man. Great chatting
Sounds
with
good.
You as always.
Always, buddy. Yo, you too. Ciao.
Sports Social Podcast Network.